So as I said, we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter number 21. And I'll say this, it's always good to be back. Man, it's good to be back. I'm here and just see so many familiar faces. And it's just a blessing to be back. So we're going to read all the way through chapter number 21. And in preparing for this, man, God really just challenged me. He spoke my heart. And even before this, being able to go to Ferguson, and even before that, man, God, it seemed like God was just working on my heart as far as what I'm going to speak to you on tonight. And with my job, I don't like to speak a lot about my job, but many of you guys know I work at State Farm, and at State Farm, we do what's called financial reviews. And this past week, I had this one guy walk in, basically my office manager. She was at home. Her daughter broke her arm. The guy came in and he's like, hey, I'm there to meet with the office manager. She wasn't there. So I had to scramble up, find everything, and then have this meeting with him. But it turned out to be a good meeting. We talked a lot about just preparing him not only for here, right now where he is, but, you know, in case of his death as well. In the realm of a life insurance policy, making sure that everything is taken care of, and so on and so forth. And so as we were talking, the thing that popped in my mind over and over and over again was, man, you're preparing for your departure from this earth. You're preparing right now here on this earth. But what about after? And everybody that I deal with on a daily basis, I'm just reminded of that. You're preparing here on this earth, but what about for eternity? And it really hit me that we can plan here on this earth, we can plan with life insurance policies, so on and so forth, when we die. But are we doing a good job planning for eternity? And honestly, that's just been ringing in my heart. Jeremiah, plan for eternity. Keep planning for eternity. Make sure that that's at the forefront of your mind. And last week I was listening to the sermons from the men's prayer events, and one of the preachers, he said something that just stuck to me. He said this. He's talking about Caleb and Joshua and the 10 spies. You guys remember that? 10 spies, and 10 were bad, two were good, and they came back and they gave an evil report, the 10 bad spies, about, hey, we can't encamp the land. We can't go to the promised land. There's giants there. We won't be victorious. Then you have Joshua and Caleb. They're saying, hey, God is able. God has given us the land. We're able to possess it. And he said something that made sense, something that really hit me. He says, how to live in the wilderness when your heart is in the promised land. And I mean, that has just been ringing in my heart. We're in the wilderness today. I mean, there's so much going on in this world. How can I live here in the wilderness when my heart is in the promised land, or my heart's in heaven? And I've been asking myself that same question. And man, I've been preaching to myself, Jeremiah, just keep living in the wilderness. Hey, you're going to be in the promised land one day. And this along the lines is something that I've been preaching to myself. Man, this week, preach myself on humbleness, being meek, seeing myself as God sees me, not seeing myself higher than anybody. So I'm just going through this, you know, just assessing my heart and coming to where we are today. I mean, it was just such a blessing when God showed me this. So for sake of time, we're going to start reading, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give it thee for it a better, vineyard. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken unto him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I have spoken unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise, eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. and sent letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying thou did blaspheme against God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of this city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in the land, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. And then for sake of time, we'll jump down to verse number 17. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down and meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is gone in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also take possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, thou hast found me, O my enemy. And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for allowing us to look into your word tonight. And Lord, I thank you so much for the precious book that you've given us that is a light unto our path. Thank you so much, Lord, that it leads us. Thank you, Lord, so much that it reveals who you are. And Lord, I pray that you would please, Lord, please challenge our hearts, that you would please allow your word to break us, to break our hearts, to break our motives, Lord, to challenge our ways so that we can leave here changed and loving you more. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would help me as your messenger tonight. I pray that you would put your words in my mouth and that you would help me to say what thus saith the Lord. Lord, we love you so much. And it's in your holy son's name I pray. Amen. In studying out this passage, I was amazed at the level of commitment by Naboth. I mean, think, you have the greatest power. You have the person that is highest in power in the land comes to you and says, hey, I need your land. And not only does he say, hey, I need your land, but he also says, hey, I'll give you something better for it. And if that's not good, hey, I'll give you some money for it. You know, we have the saying, the grass is always greener on the other side. And in Naboth's case, the grass did seem greener on the other side. I mean, having a better piece of land or having more money, I mean, it seemed all good to Naboth. But what did thus saith the Lord? What did God say about it? And the thing that I think about the most in my life is this. Am I willing to obey God? I mean, am I willing to disobey God? Am I willing to go against God's word for my pleasures? For what I deem as good? For what seems valuable to me? You see, the word of God is more important than money. It's more important than our pleasures. It's more important than anything in the world. Making sure that we follow God's word. So we're going to break down this verse, these verses, this passage, and then we're going to pull out five things from it that we can apply to our life. So before we get into the passage really quick, I just want to use one statement. Oftentimes we use circumstance as a reason to run away from our faith. To run away from God. I mean, I'll give you a case in point. You know, God forbid, but doctors come to you and say, hey, cancer. Oftentimes people use that as an excuse to run away from their faith, run away from God. Finances. Oftentimes people use that as a case in point to run away from God, to run away from their faith. Family is against you. Family doesn't want anything to do with you because you're a Christian now. Sometimes people use that as a case in point to run away from God. But the one thing that you should think about during those times of heartache or during those times where people just seem like everyone's oppressing you, coming against you, is that God is always faithful to you. God has never let you down. God has never done you wrong. And if anyone should be, if you should be faithful to anyone, it's God, because he's been more than faithful to us. So as I said, we're going to point out these things, and remember, don't use your circumstance as a case in point to run out on God. So we begin reading in verse number 1. We have this man of God named Naboth. And then we read in verse number 2 that Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs. And so first of all, we see this insatiable desire on the part of King Ahab. I mean, Ahab got to have this man's vineyard. You got to have Naboth's vineyard. He can't have any other vineyard but this man, Naboth. And I ask my question, why does he want Naboth's vineyard? And the Bible says that it's hard next to the king's palace, or it's very close to the king's palace. So Ahab wants this palace. It wants this piece of property from Naboth, because it's so close to his property. And I mean, I can imagine during this time, or in that moment when Ahab saw that vineyard, I mean, he began to covet after it. I mean, maybe days went by, began to plot in his mind how he's going to get that vineyard, how he's going to ask Naboth. I mean, can you imagine Ahab's mind when he set his mind to something, that he is the king of the land, that anybody will do anything for him? And he goes to that man of God, Naboth. And what does Naboth say? He says, no, no. And that leads us to our second point, that intuitive denial. I mean, think about it. Naboth didn't think about it. He didn't say, hey, give me a couple moments to think about it. Hey, give me a couple days, king. Let me pray about it. Let me talk to my family about it. He said, no, it's not for sale. And that's the point of the message tonight. Hey, some things in your life are not for sale. The devil can't have them. They're not for sale. And Naboth said, no, king, I'm not going to give you this land. And I begin to think, Naboth, it doesn't make any sense for you not to sell the land. He's going to give you a better piece of property. He's going to give you more money. But why didn't Naboth sell the piece of property? And that's the answer is found in verse number 13. And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Naboth said, the Lord forbid it me. And so basically, just do a little rundown on the custom during the day. The families could not do whatever they wanted with the land. When they possessed the land, it was given to them by God, and they had to remain married to the land that God gave to them. And so Naboth had to resist that temptation and remain faithful to what God had given them, no matter the cost. And so really quick, just want to jump over to Leviticus chapter number 25 and read what the Bible says regarding this. In verse number 23, the Bible says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, and you are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possessions, you shall grant a redemption for the land. And if thy brother be waxen poor and have sold away some of his possession, and any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man be none to redeem it, and he himself shall be able to redeem it. And if you go over to Numbers chapter number 36, the Bible says this in verse number 7. It says, so shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers, and every daughter that possesses the inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. So we see clearly from scripture that God forbid him selling the land or giving it away, because it was an inheritance. And so Naboth was leaning on what God said. He said, God says I shouldn't sell it. God is forbidding it here. Ahab, I don't care who you are, I'm not going to sell it. It's not for sale. And Naboth was convinced in his heart that it was wrong to sell the land because God said it. So the question I have for you tonight is, what are you convinced about? What are you convinced about that's not for sale? A lot of times, on a daily basis, I see people buy things, buy a new car, they call me, buy a new house, get an apartment, they call me, selling a house, so on and so forth. But as Christians, as children of God, there has to be a conviction that, hey, God, some things are just not for sale in my life. Number one, family is not for sale. Man, number two, church is not for sale. There are some things in your life that ought to be not for sale, that the devil can't have, that shouldn't be up for grabs. And you know, honestly, just thinking about this, sometimes we're real cheap in what we sell. Very cheap. I mean, honestly, sometimes it just goes for free. Man, someone says, hey, go do this, and man, we're there, we're running. They don't even have to pay a price for it. But we need to get to the point where, man, just some things aren't for sale. So reason number three, we have this illicit or devising decision, this forbidden decision. And so if you look at through this passage, you see Ahab basically going to his house when Naboth said no and going to his house and pouting, crying, laying in the bed. He's not eating. And Jezebel, his wife, comes up and says, aren't you the king? I mean, you can go make a decree, make this stuff happen. And he's still laying there pouting. So what does she do? She goes and writes letters in his name and goes, puts a seal on these letters and goes, conspires this whole big old thing against Naboth to be able to take the land from him. And I mean, can you imagine being walked in front of the people? And can you imagine what's going through Naboth's mind? Like, hey, I did right. Hey, I did exactly what God had called me to do. I followed God's word and now I'm being punished for it. I mean, can you imagine the thoughts that may be going through his head? I mean, can you imagine him thinking like, you know what? Maybe I should sell the land. Is not selling the land worth losing my life? Is it really worth it? And I can imagine God speaking unto Naboth saying, hey, you know what? It's worth it because I said it. It's worth it because, hey, it's my word. Because you're going to be rewarded beyond greater measures than whatever Ahab could have offered you. Hey, I'm going to reward you tenfold. And I mean, in our lives, there are consequences to everything that we do. Good, bad. Man, you feel like, hey, I'm being persecuted against. Man, someone spits at you, so on and so forth. And you turn the other cheek. Man, God's going to reward you. God's going to see you out. But where does your faith lie? I mean, is it in your circumstance? Is it in yourself? Or are you looking to him for your help? Going out to Ferguson this past week, you know, we saw people just ravaged, people just hurting, people just wounded, selling out to the devil. And I mean, it just amazed me, just seeing the heartache, just seeing the trials that they faced. And honestly, it just breaks your heart. But then you realize, where in my life am I selling out to the devil? Where am I giving place to him? What's for sale in my life? And I tell you, on a daily basis, you know, you run into people. On a daily basis, you see people on the street corner, see people walking through the store. They don't have any hope. I mean, the only hope they have here is on this earth. They're selling everything that they have. But we have that blessed hope in Jesus Christ. I mean, we have that firm foundation on God, on who he is. And we can say, hey, you know what? You know what, devil? Hey, there's some things in my life that just aren't for sale. And I'm going to stay firm on what God has given me. So first of all, we see this insatiable desire on the hand of King Ahab wanting Naboth's land. Then we see this intuitive denial on Naboth's part, him saying, no, king, you can't have the land. Then we see this decision by Jezebel and by Ahab to conspire this thing to kill Naboth. Then we come to this ill-advised death where they kill Naboth. And then we see this intercessed destruction. If you go down to verse number, If you jump down to verse number 27, and it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And then if you jump over to verse number 23, and Jezebel also spoke saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel, him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field, the fowls of the air shall eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to the work of wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up, and he did very abominably in the following idols, according to all the things that the Amorites, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So Ahab caused the people to go against God's covenant and the word by killing and taking Naboth's land. And so what was the result? God judged him. God judged Jezebel. And so there are some things that we can learn from what was read tonight or what we looked at tonight. And there are three things. Number one, stay faithful to God and his word. Number two, sin will always have consequences. And number three, don't covet. Because, hey, it'll lead you somewhere where you don't want to go. You know, in my life, there are people that I've been to Bible college with. There's people that I've seen that's sold out. I mean, we talk about, hey, don't be a sellout. And you know what that, you guys know what that means. But I would say tonight, don't be a sellout. And we're talking this week in the car, and we're just talking about how far God has brought us to where we were at, to where God brought us from where we were. And I mean, I tell you, I didn't know deity. I didn't know what anything meant in the Bible, going off to Bible college. And all I knew was, man, I just want to stay faithful to God. That's all I knew. And we're just talking. We're just like, you know, we're just so green. And we had no idea about anything. And people would laugh at us and so on and so forth at school. And they're like, you know, you guys don't know anything about the Bible and this and that. And I mean, honestly, sometimes it's a little bit discouraging. But we just kept staying faithful. And then being able to go and see a church planted in Ferguson. And we're just talking about how, man, we're nothing. God is doing everything through us. And we're just being able to encourage each other. But I tell you, I'm sad to say there was a lot of people in Bible college that sold out. Sold out to cars, sold out to money, sold out because of family members, so on and so forth. And they're not serving God today because of that. And I tell you, the one thing that I enjoy the most is serving the Lord. I mean, you know, I work at State Farm, and man, I'm thankful for God giving me that job. But you know, I have that heart, that desire. I'm like, oh, I really don't want to be here. Man, I want to be studying the word. I want to be, you know, helping people from the word of God. I mean, I want to be out there ministering to people. That's where my heart is. And although, you know, you have to make a living for your family and so on and so forth. But man, I just know that serving God, living for God, where God has me, is the best life. And really quick, I remember this one guy came to me, and he was just so amazed that I didn't play football anymore. And, you know, we grew up playing football, and he was like, you know, you're not playing football, and saying that was a waste of talent and so on and so forth. But honestly, without a shadow of a doubt, I'd rather be here where I'm at today than anywhere playing football, anything, because this is the best life that I could live. And I tell you tonight, if you choose not to sell out for what the world has to offer, man, God is going to do some great things in your life. I mean, you're going to experience so many wonderful and great things. I mean, take it from someone that didn't even want God growing up. Take it from someone that didn't even know who God was. But God changed me, and I just want more of him. Every day I want more of him. And every day I'm choosing, hey, don't sell out on God. Jeremiah, keep faithful. Keep in the fight, because it's worth it. Because there's people all around this world that are looking at you. There's people all around this world that, hey, they're going to come in contact with Jesus because of your testimony. I'll give you this example and then we'll close. There's a guy that I went to school with. We're roommates for a little bit. And I mean, just being honest with you, this guy just rubbed me the wrong way sometimes. I mean, just the stuff that he did, it was just like, what are you doing? And I remember, just on a couple occasions, you know, you start a little friendship, you talk a little bit, you become an acquaintance. And so the Lord really just impressed my heart. Just start you know, just try to be a blessing to him and, you know, look past the mistake that he's making and so on and so forth. And I mean, sometimes it was tough. You know, I work security, so you see like what everybody's doing, and then you see him at 11 o'clock at night when there's supposed to be curfew. He's driving off, going to McDonald's for everybody in the dorm and so on and so forth. And you're like, man, what are you doing? You know, so on and so forth. And I tell you, this guy, I had a chance just to see him grow throughout Bible college. And it was just such a blessing to go from selling out everything. I mean, just everything was up for grabs to say, hey, you know what, God, I just want to be faithful to you. And I remember just seeing this young man just start changing, you know, broke up with a girl that was kind of leading him the wrong direction. And man, God just began to start blessing his life. And, you know, married a wonderful, godly girl. And, I mean, God is just blessing his life. And over this past summer, he messaged me and he said, you know what, Jeremiah, I want to thank you for your testimony there at school. He said, it so challenged me. It so helped me. And he said, a lot of people looked down on me. A lot of people gave up on me. But he said, you never gave up or looked down on me. He said, you stayed the same and loved me all throughout that. And he said, I wouldn't be where I am today without that love. And honestly, it does something to you because you realize that people are looking at your life. And you know, just being honest with you, I could have sold out to the wrong crowd. I could have sold out, hey, because of my finances. I didn't have the finances to be in Bible college. I could have found every reason to sell out because of my circumstances. Every reason to give up. But I knew that I had a God in heaven that was always there for me. I knew I had a God in heaven that was able to help me, to deliver me. And that's the same God that you have tonight. So I close with this. People are looking at your life today, whether you realize it or not. And they're wondering, are you going to sell out? Or are you going to stay faithful? Or are you going to stay in the fight? And you know, at your funeral, wouldn't it be something for them to say, you know what, they stayed faithful no matter what the circumstance. Hey, they didn't sell the piece of property. They didn't sell out. They stayed faithful all along the way. I mean, through everything, through cancer, through finances, through losing family members. They stayed faithful every step of the way. And then you contrast that. You get to the funeral, like, man, he didn't serve God. He gave up on God because of the circumstance that he was in. He wasn't faithful. And the one thing that describes that is just being real, being genuine, loving the Lord no matter what. And really quick, man, it's just so amazing. This past week, my heart was just so encouraged just to see other fellow believers that are faithful in the fight. It's encouraging knowing everyone's testimony here and then just seeing you faithful in the fight. I mean, it does something for you. I mean, that's one of the important things about church. It's just seeing other believers just stay in the fight no matter what the circumstance because they know the God that they serve. And really quick, it just so amazed me that my friend Chris, just all that he's went through, my friend Nick, all that he's went through, and yet and still, they're loving the Lord. They're in the fight. They have the joy of the Lord in their heart. And then we brought our wives and they have the joy of the Lord in their heart. And encouraged me, that woman right there that I married, all that she's been through, lost her brother, lost her family, lost her parents. But man, she's still faithful to God. And that just so amazed me, just the grace of God in our lives. And I say this tonight. You have a God in heaven that loves you. You have a God in heaven that is faithful. You have a God in heaven that has never given up on you. Don't you dare give up on him. Don't you dare sell out on him. Because he's worth it. He's worth it every single time. I mean, think about what he went through for you. I mean, think about the nail-scarred hands. Think about the crown of thorns, him being beaten, buffeted. Think about the humility that he had to take to come down to be made in the manger. I mean, think about that. The God that created everything was born in a manger for me and for you. And what do? Oftentimes, we sell out. We sell out on him. Don't sell out on him. He's more than good. He's more than good. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you so much for your love. God, we thank you so much for who you are. And Lord, it's just so amazing that we have the opportunity to serve you. And God, it's so humbling. It's so much of a privilege, God. And Lord, we just don't want to squander it. We don't want to make it of ill effect. But Lord, I pray that it would affect us in every part of our life, that you love us, that we know you as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray that the world would just see a difference in us. They would just see a passion in us. That they would just see that the light that you have given us. And Lord, most importantly, I pray that they would see you. And Lord, we love you so much. And we thank you so much for the testimony of Naboth and just his faithfulness to your word and his faithfulness to obey you no matter what. And Lord, I pray that we would obey you over a political party, that we would obey you over the fear of man and so on and so forth, Lord, that we obey you over anything, God. And Lord, again, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. And Lord, we pray that you will be praised tonight and for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.